Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 266 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by Brad Oxnam, actor. Brad's going to stop by, and he's going to chat a little bit about his involvement in Blackbird Theater's production of Pacific Overtures here in Nashville. So we'll get into Brad's story just after these brief messages. If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve. Or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
Hey, Putz, get off your fat tuchus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it, it's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
All right, IDSers, I am joined in studio, Studio 1103, by Brad Oxnam again. We're here to talk a little Blackbird Theater, Pacific Overtures.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome, Brad. How are you doing today?
Hey, great, man. Glad to be back. So the first one of the new year. Woo!
We got to cycle you in. All right. So tell me a little bit about how this got going and your rehearsal process and everything.
The rehearsal process has been very good. We cast in the fall of 11, and we knew we were going to start like right after the new year, but the music is so complicated as a Sondheim piece that we needed a few extra music rehearsals. So sporadically, we all met with our music director, Ben Van Diepen, to sort of get a head start on the music, and we were in for our money's worth with that one. There are some pieces in this show that are absolutely the most complex I've ever encountered. This is my first Sondheim show, actually, in my whole musical theater career. And I'm just amazed. I picked a doozy to start out with.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, like a lot of key changes and
key changes
and accidentals.
Key changes, time changes, you know, going from 2-4 to 4-4 to 3-4 to 6-8 to whatever he just decides to put on the page. But it's been very fun, very challenging, and it's going to be amazing. We're still in tech rehearsals at the moment, so last couple of nights have been start and stop, but I can already see it's coming together. It's gelling. It's going to be great.
Cool. So, yeah, so as we record this, it has not opened yet, but
no.
When this goes live, it will have had its first weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Congratulations on a fantastic opening weekend.
All the rave reviews we get.
Yes, that's right. February 2nd through the 4th. 9th through 11th, 16th through 18th, doors at 7 p.m., shows at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to blackbirdnashville.com and kind of get information there. And if you're listening to the Inexplicable Dumb Show, as I know you are because you're hearing my voice, then go to inexplicabledumbshow.com to get that information, and I will have links for tickets and that sort of thing. So
I believe you can also get tickets on ticketsnashville.com.
Cool.
They're a little hard to find, so I believe they put a link on the website, the blackbirdnashville.com website as well.
All right. Well, we got all the links, the cross linkage there for you, and go get your ticket. So tell me a little bit about the show.
Oh, Lord. The show is unlike any other musical theater piece I've seen. It's sort of like a musical theater history lesson. Most musicals that I see, they center around a nice happy love story, you know, the Fantastics or Jesus Christ Superstar. Those are, I don't know if I'd call that a love story necessarily.
Doesn't end well, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, sort of, I guess.
Well, if you add in the part that they leave out in the first one. This one is really about, Pacific Overtures is really about Japan itself and the history that it has with the West. We have a scene where the reciter, played by Travis Brazil, fantastic actor, tells us the backstory basically of the fact that Japan banished all foreigners for 200 and something years. And then all of a sudden America shows up in the 1800s
right.
and says, we want to do business with you. And they have laws stating that no foreigner can touch our soil. If they do, they have to be put to death. And it's a interesting thing where they deal with the West and all of a sudden they have to sort of some people assimilate into Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
Some people try not to. But in the end, of course, Japan decides we are going to progress. We're not going to banish the barbarians. We're not going to accept all of their ways, but we're going to proceed and become the nation that they are today.
So how does it feel being a barbarian?
It feels no different than before.
Now there's an actual term for how you feel, Brad.
Yes.
Every day. You're a barbarian.
I'm a barbarian. Actually, I play a barbarian and three Japanese people in the show. I play the third counselor to the shogun. And that one has a lot of fun lines, and we've sort of made – there are three counselors. Lord Abe is the first, played by Chris Boson, the second, played by Brad Forrester, and then myself. Yes, I'm playing against another Brad, and it's great. But we've second counselor and third counselor, we've sort of taken sort of a Tweedledee, Tweedledum approach to the characterization, and it's made it a lot of fun. In the second act, I play a British admiral – that comes on during a song called Please Hello, where all these Western admirals, one from America, one from Britain, one from Holland, one from Russia, and one from France, come in. And that one's actually the most complex piece of music I've ever seen. It's called Please Hello. All of the fun little tidbit of the song, Sondheim wrote each admiral from each nation in the style of their nation. So the American admiral is in the style of John Philip Sousa.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian is in Tchaikovsky. The French has a can-can. And my own has Gilbert and Sullivan. And if you know Stephen Sondheim's work, try mixing Stephen Sondheim patter songs with Gilbert and Sullivan patter songs, and you have a huge mess that was really, like, I had to do tongue twisters for hours to master this one. But that's another piece, and I get to be a samurai later in the show, too. And it's just for one scene, but I love every minute of it. There are several people that are doing multiple roles in this show, and they're just all wonderful.
Well, I was looking down the cast list. I mean, and even just with everybody multiplying, playing multiple parts, it's still a fairly large cast.
Yeah, we've got somewhere around 30 people in the cast. And typically, I know in past productions of the show, particularly the original Broadway productions, they did it with only like 5 to 8 actors. And
wow.
All men, too. So they tried to do the very traditional
right.
Japanese way of all male performers. And well, I was kind of glad that Greg and Wes decided, well, let's open that up to female cast members and knowing their...
You didn't want to be a geisha?
I didn't want to be a geisha, but we do have geishas in the show that will surprise you. And it makes for quite a good bit of comedy in the show. I'm not going to give it away, but come see it and you'll find out. But we did want to expand.
There's the hook.
Yes, there's the hook. Come see it and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
Geisha? Question mark.
Geisha? But no, we have where was I going with that? I'm so great at doing these Amtrak things while we're recording.
That's
wonderful.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Pull out your pie chart. So again, this is for reference for people listening. It's a, I guess, Last Samurai, Tom Cruise movie kind of time period at least.
Well, actually, we're trying to honor the styles of Japanese culture. We're really taking a lot from their theatrical traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Nettie Kraft, who's been both our props master and sort of our Japanese theater consultant. She actually studied it in grad school when she was in Chicago. And she gave us a few tips on no theater, on kabuki theater, and on bunraku theater. And we're utilizing all of that. We have some parts of the show that are very no-based. We have a lot, especially Travis, he's adding a lot of kabuki elements to the show that I wouldn't have thought of adding in. And then we actually do have puppets. We have bunraku-style puppetry going on in the scenes as well. And this isn't a Japanese theater tradition, but our stagehands are actual ninjas, so we do have actual stage ninjas on the stage helping us move the scene changes around. And it's so we're honoring the Japanese tradition while at the same time making it... we're blending it with the Western style. As far as accents go, none of us are doing, like, full Japanese accents. We are hinting...
You know, that would be mildly offensive.
Well, yeah, it would. Well, we're really trying to stay away from the stereotypes of it. We are giving a little Japanese lilt to it, although the script helps a lot. All the Japanese lines, interesting enough, all the Japanese characters speak in what we would call Americanized English with the full prepositional phrasing and everything like that. It's the Americans, actually, that speak in broken English because... Right. You know, you see that, you see them go, yes, here, now, we come this way. You know, basically how Americans interact with foreigners from other countries right. as well.
Right.
But, so it's a nice little play on the cultural interaction. I think it's a great thing that Sondheim and, oh, I forget the writer's name of the show, but they wrote that brilliantly and to show a little bit of humor there.
Cool. So, what's your favorite Brad moment for Brad? What's your highlight of?
For me personally as an actor, or like my favorite moment in the show?
You personally as an actor, and then later we'll do favorite moment
of
the show.
Oh, okay. My favorite moment as an actor, I really think it's a tie. It's the please hello moment where it's me and five other guys, like, doing this really complicated piece, and we succeed, amazingly. We succeed at doing this very complicated piece, and it's gonna stop the show. I have no doubt it's gonna be one of those, wow, that was cool moments. The other one, I do get to do some stage combat as the samurai, so I'm very excited about that. I haven't done a lot of stage combat in about a year on stage myself, so I'm very happy to get back into that. Eric Pastor Crosby designed the fights, fight choreographed the piece, so it's fun working with him too, good buddy. But my favorite moment in the show actually is this one piece called Someone in a Tree. It's a very touching piece where they talk about how the Americans came, did their treaty, and left, but there's really no Japanese account of what happened because they were very secretive. And one old guy comes in and says, oh yes, I was there, I was in a tree and I saw it. And the whole piece is just this beautiful kind of message about how it's the individual that experiences history, not history that influences the individual.
So it's nice.
Very deep, but it's very beautiful at the same time.
Okay, cool. So again, Blackbird Theater of Nashville, Stephen Sondheim, Specific Overtures. I've got Brad Oxnam here joining me in Studio 1103. And again, the dates, information, ticket information, show dates, show costs, all that kind of stuff. I will have links on it, about that information on inexplicabledumbshow.com.
Oh, and I should mention, you guys should get your tickets quick for this show. It is going to be very popular. In fact, one show already, the 16th, is already sold out. And we've got people coming from miles around. We do have one confirmed visitor from New York coming down to see the show just because this show has had like 10 productions and it's like 30, 40-year history so far. So do not miss this one, guys. It's going to be great.
And so you got Guffman coming down?
Maybe. So either Guffman or Godot. I don't know which one.
All right. Well, thanks, Brad. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. Always a pleasure, man.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. All right, so I want to thank Brad Oxenham for stopping by today and chatting about Pacific Overtures, which is Blackbird Theater of Nashville's latest production. Again, any of that serial information will be posted on the inexplicabledumbshow.com for the show notes page for this particular episode. If you want to be part of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, call 615-866-1282 or put your voice in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow us on Twitter. Follow the Inexplicable Dumb Show on Twitter. It's Inexplicable DS, capital I, Inexplicable, capital D, capital S. Smush that together and you've got our Twitter handle, if you will. So next week is Valentine's Day. So we'll have to have something special for you lovers out there. So until next time, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.